Simpson Special Interest Clerk.
That's Robin.
All right, well.
I don't see Robin here, but we've got a couple members that have joined us tonight to talk about a really exciting proposal on the interurban trail. Would you guys like to present your ideas to the board?
Sure.
You can stay there or come in the middle, wherever you're most comfortable.
My name is Greg Feeney. I work with Joel Johnson. I'm a co-volunteer for a section of the interurban trail between Woodside Road and the I-72 overpasses. It's about a mile and a half section, about half a segment. It's a 50-foot wide corridor, and along the west side, through most of the through that length, there's a drainage channel that drains. Kind of an interchange area with MacArthur to the south, and as far as what this offers or what's available to us, this is like kind of a scenic overlook. But even though it's a drainage channel, it's been there for quite a while. There's mature trees that have grown up through there, and kind of offers not only an opportunity now for improvement, but I think once we eliminate some of the invasives, it'll be much improved. So what this offers is an overlook that we can provide a shelter looking down into this drainage channel. It's along the west side of the trail, but it's right about the halfway point, which would be like 3/4 mile, either from the Hazeldale parking lot or the parking lot at Woodside Road. So anybody can walk in, it gives them kind of equal distance between the parking lot if they want to just walk or hang out or perhaps even take a rest. So, I had an architectural firm come up with this design. We kind of gave them some design constraints, a roof, approximate dimensions of 10 by 10,
thank you.
With the drop-off on the one side and the east side, pretty much the trail elevation. What we're looking for is just approval from the park board to proceed with this. And what the next step would be for us would be we're trying to find a builder and funding. We have partial funding, and I think depending on the cost of labor and stuff, that we're not sure where all the funding will come from at this point. But I think we're looking at material being about $8,000. I have no idea how to get the estimate for labor. Currently, we're working with the Kepler Career Center, and I don't think you guys were, some of you gentlemen, I think folks are familiar with Dennis, or Doug Dennis, who manages the building trades, with the building trade program at the Kepler Career Center. We're trying to get them to commit to supplying the labor for that. He's been responsive, but then I haven't heard much from him in about 3 weeks, so I'm not sure exactly where we stand with him. So as far as getting approval, after that, then we're not sure of getting built. We told her, I spoke with some of you guys before, perhaps we give if the Kepler version falls through, maybe they can arrange for a request for bids or something like that. So that's pretty much what I want to present to
you. Chris had a question.
Yeah. I guess looking at this, it gives me the architectural, but it doesn't really tell me exactly how it's placed on the trail. You mentioned that it's overlooked, and that's the part that concerns me.
Sure.
The question.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So, okay, here's the trail. It'll be like, I'm looking at the image on the bottom left.
Right.
And the left side, the bottom left image, from the left side, that's a going up the Dizzy Bike Trail, and then there's a pathway, so go from the trail to the shelter, and then underneath the shelter, it kind of somewhat shows out of the...
So like with this being an aerial view, the trail goes right along here.
Correct, yeah.
And then you're overlooking this down. Now I guess that's what I'm coming into with the... this part right here, with the overlook, how much of a drop potentially are we talking?
About 3.5 feet.
A figure is, when you say overlook, my first concern is some idiot climbing over and falling off it.
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal. They can't survive a 3-foot fall.
Well, and it has handrails on the three back sides, too. Is that right?
Yeah, there'll be handrails around three sides.
Yeah.
The side face material will not have handrails, but we're going to have, proposed to have about 3 feet of it will take up with a path of pavers or concrete. The rest of the earth will go right up to the elevation of the platform of the shelter.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad at all.
Well,
my thing is that I was thinking if we're talking even a 10-foot drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We all know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, when you go further to the west, I mean, if you go in the drainage channel, it's probably close to 15 feet or so. But
right there off the railing.
Right.
Somebody sat on the railing to take a selfie and looked like this a little too far.
Yeah. And so I measured that and we came up with about 2 minutes. And that's for the trail elevation, which is about the same elevation as the deck of the shelter.
Now, one of the things that, which I think we would add to the idea of the design is, we're talking about it being on the trail. We're the bike rack. For people to park the bike and get off the bike and enjoy the...
Good idea.
The item. So, yeah.
Good idea.
All I've got.
Lisa?
I've got a few things. Is this... You know, ADA compliant, or?
That's one of the requirements we have is ADA compliant.
Okay.
I know the both of the paths meet ADA requirements. What I'm concerned about is, and that's clear with others for the ADA requirements with respect to the office requirements. So, what we're proposing for the deck is like, let's just do it. I'll take a conversation like 4x6 and stuff like that. So, you know, they're only kind of rounded, so I'm not sure if a 1x6 surface would need to be had to be verified the surface.
And then with our previous discussions with Hanson and all of the work that's being done over there near the trail, is this conducive?
Okay, good question. So the location of the proposed site is south of 72 and north of the lake. So this won't have any impact on that. A lot of the work that you're referring to with the overpass, underpass situation on there, it's far south of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture it in my head and I couldn't find the place.
Yeah, there was, I know the board pack was quite large. There was one document that was included along with this one that was an aerial map that you had provided to us that kind of pinned on
that.
So we can send that out again and make sure everybody has a copy of that.
Okay. And then also, I know you said you were, you know, discussing with the building drainage program at in my professional life, I'm a business agent at a trade and labor union, so I'm happy to have a discussion with you and brainstorm on other ideas. There are two minority trade programs that have apprenticeship that I'm aware of that may be able to lend
I guess there is one other thing that I would need, you should be aware I would need information, depending on who builds it, would be the amount of access permitted on the trail. Like I said, about 3/4 mile in each direction from a roadway access, a parking access. And we can't expect the builders to hand carry stuff in that far. So they would probably need to be parked on the trail. The trail is like 10 feet wide, and there's not much of a shoulder rating for a vehicle to pull off.
But you're probably only talking about a couple of days of disruption. I mean, I can't imagine that this is a project that takes a lot longer than that. So, I mean, we'd give you a special permit for that.
Yeah, we work with you on that.
We would just have to make sure that we're staying within weight concerns for the real character.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm sure the pickup trucks that are probably going back there. So.
So I met with Greg and Joel, that weren't with them behind the scenes on the project. They've been great. They've been doing a bunch of stuff for us over there in their urban trail. This area they picked, it is not a high assist area, like you said, it's a low area. So we met there. I even offered to have our staff help with the build, with concrete. I don't think we need any type of concrete truck. We have a portable mixer. We'd be allowed, we would use that type of thing. So I have no concern over it. I think it's a great project. It would be pretty easy, I think. Hopefully CWC helps out. We take things up on our offer. So the area is awesome. It's our property as well. It's marked on the NKS, the Springfield Park's property. That's the area right there. It's a little weird. State owns some. We own some. So it's all included on our property as well.
Great. And
just by way of introduction, I should also know that these two gentlemen are no strangers to the park.
Yes.
In fact, they have been friends of the park district for many, many years. They have donated endless personal hours and volunteering and personal dollars to improve the trail and maintain the trail and clear invasive species and do native plantings. We're so appreciative of all the good work that you guys do out there. I will also say that I know you guys have presented to the Springfield Parks Foundation, who also supports this project and could appropriate some funding to help out with this project as well. So, as Jason said, staff is absolutely behind this project.
Stephen?
Do we know the plan for private extensions would have any impact on
it? No, it won't. It's west of there.
The nearest project might be the railroad relocation. It might eliminate access to that building, sort of might eliminate access from the south. Came back with flood access on the hidden zone.
All right, well, I sounds to me like everybody's pretty supportive. I know I am. So we just very much appreciate you. All your efforts, and this is going to be a well-used shelter. I know that trail is just heavily used already, and I'm sure people will truly appreciate your efforts. So thank you so much for bringing it to us.
I'm excited about this. And back to your point about being fortunate, I did speak with Mr. Dennis at Kepler Pearson. He did mention if he had approved, it wouldn't be about 2 days. So I imagine it'd probably be the same with any other, depending on if they just, call through for meeting and then, but it shouldn't be much more than 2 days. So.
Exactly. No, I think it's wonderful, and people will see that and smile and know what's coming, and I'm sure it's not going to be a problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Okay, next is the IGA with the City of Springfield. Where are we with this?
So last month, as a reminder, the Park Board approved a private funding and construction agreement with the Friends of the original Leland Summer Home to allow them to relocate the summer kitchen to Washington Park. Since then, we've worked very closely with the City of Springfield to keep this project moving. I can tell you there is a tremendous amount of red tape to get this thing done. You have three government agencies, Leland Grove, the City of Springfield, the Springfield Park District. You have multiple private businesses, from the concrete company that's going to do the work, to the moving company, to a bricklayer that's going to do some work. Overhead utility lines need moved, and our Comcast is involved with this. They want to go across our new bridge, so we want to make sure the weight capacities will be acceptable for the bridge. So there's a lot of red tape, but everybody's moving forward in the same direction. Included in the board packet this month was a draft intergovernmental agreement. That would be a document that governs the relationship between the Park District and the City of Springfield. Again, the Park District has no funds going into this. The City of Springfield is really stepping up from an administrative standpoint and from a financial standpoint to fund all the various components for the move, from the concrete work to the dirt work. There's floodplain issues that we're working through as well. So it got really complex, but the city is pushing forward full steam ahead. They're planning on moving the structure on March 2nd. That's, I think, 4 weeks from today. Maybe three weeks from today.
Yes.
So there's a tremendous amount of things that need to happen in a very short amount of time, but we're doing everything we can to help the group continue to move forward.
Would you let the board know if I mean, I know they're under deadline, right? I think they got a 1 month extension.
March 15th.
Right. So they're planning on the 2nd, but could you let the board know if that's actually, you know, when they're going to, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of want to go see. I don't mean to be a gawker, but, you know, I mean, this is a unusual event. Yeah, exactly.
So this month and next week, we're going to ask the park board to take action on the intergovernmental agreement that was included in the board packet. That is in draft form. We provided that to the city probably 4 weeks ago. It's in the review process. We have not heard back from them, but in order for us to take action before March 2nd, this next week will be the last board meeting we have. So we're hopeful we can get some feedback from the city to get that in its final form so this board can consider action.
Well, we can always vote on it pending final legal approval review, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
We've done that before,
yep.
So that it gives us full latitude, understanding, right, understanding that, you know, I'm all about the lawyers. You know, they need to okay. Does anybody have any questions about that?
This is what's the Wheeland Summer Kitchen established on Park District property and donated to the Park District? The Park District shall maintain the Wheeland Summer Kitchen and the carpet around the structure.
Yeah.
The property outlined, but were you supposed to maintain the structure?
So this is the agreement between us and the city. It's basically saying that the city's not responsible for
right.
it, right?
Okay.
Now,
let me
clarify. It's a great question. And we had a fellow trustee call this week and ask the same question as well. So there's a separate agreement between the Park District and the Friends of the Original Leland Summer Kitchen, that advocacy group. And in that agreement, it clearly makes them responsible for perpetual maintenance. And in fact, it goes one step ahead and requires them to donate $5,000 to the Park District up front that we would take and we'd set aside in a separate fund just dedicated for the maintenance of that facility. Now, that said, you know, it is true that once this facility comes to our property, we own it and it is our responsibility, right? So let's say, for an example, the Friends of the Leland Summer Kitchen, after 5 years, you know, they move out of town or something happens and that group becomes defunct. There's no more funding source for us. And then, of course, at this point, this board can make a determination. If there's an expense, we could tear it down at that point if we want, or we could choose to fund it. But ultimately, it is our property at that point.
And that's why the requirement was that they have to put a decent amount of money into a fund up front and to protect against that. You know, I had the exact same concern because I don't want it, you know, ultimately, I mean, you can't totally protect against that in under a very long-term scenario. But the $5,000 from everything that my understanding should cover anything that needs to be done for quite some time. So I feel like
the government that we had in there has been taken so that from the government. So I saw that the government and then a cutoff where the government had been taken away.
Yeah.
I thought, oh gosh, you know, the veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, as Leslie said, we don't envision any large expenses. Any upfront thing for moving, the foundation work, the brick work, all that stuff, the remodeling or refurbishing some of the indoors that they may be considering, that's all their responsibility. So we don't envision long-term there being many expenses. I believe it has a fairly new roof on it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll
have just been tuck pointed.
Yeah, it will tuck point it, and it'll have a brand new foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there may be some damage.
No.
say a broken window as an example, we may need to pull from that upfront fund to be able to fix it, things like that. And I do think that this group is very passionate about it, and I do think that they're going to continue their fundraising efforts, which would contribute to that fund as well. But in the end, you know, if we accept that property, it is ours.
Right. Okay. Other questions? All right. Bond issue. Do you have a list with you, or do I have to pull it up on my phone?
I do not have paper.
Okay. I'll pull it up on my phone.
I have one extra copy.
I can.
So, as we discussed last week, the flying bond, have a copy of the OS, the final OS, the final draft OS.
How did the ratings call go?
Don't know. We'll find out on Friday.
It went good. Don't let him fool you.
We will have a conference call. I challenge the league to give us a AAA rating. I'm not sure if they're going to get that challenge just yet.
Absolutely.
To set the expectations there too, for the board, they set the expectations with us in the meeting. He did a good job of trying to force the issue. AAA is outside our reach to begin with. However, just going up one notch, I think based on our call, although Stephen and staff did a great job and our performance shows that we're doing really well, I think it's unlikely. You know, they talked about our fund balances and the type of agencies and the size of the fund balances that they require to increase, and it doesn't look like we're probably quite there yet. So it's not going to go down. Right?
We're A1. Maybe we'll be moved up to an A1 with a positive outlook. That's kind of my hope. Maybe we'll be in A, double the A, or whatever, however they do it. The next, actually, I have it right here. So, we'd be A3 is the next full step. So we are the fifth step on top right now in
A1.
Okay.
They're secure bonds, and
we're in the low credit.
Yes.
The next step is very low, and then the next step above that is a minimum. So we're probably the highest rated agency in this region. I would venture to guess.
Yeah.
Park district, you mean, or?
Yeah.
I mean, compared to any other municipality.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be better rated than we are right now.
Yeah, I think our last goal, every municipal agency in Sangamon County was downgraded except for the Park District. And that was a tough sell to them, too, because
that
makes us different.
They want to be upgraded you, but everybody else is downgraded. Yeah. We're not them.
Right.
We're not them.
Good job.
So, the bond will sell on or about the 17th, 18th, I think. Dan Forbes, bond advisor, will join us at next week's meeting. So we took $39 million to request this project from staff. Basically canvassing all of our facilities, assessing needs, submitting requests. And then we whittled all those down to our $2.35 million, which is about what we're going to get. Dollars out of the bond sale. We may get more closer agreements. This is a big possibility.
It has happened.
It has happened, actually, in recent history. And so what you have been given is our recommendation for the project, the board to approve if they see fit. Obviously, if the board chooses to change this list, add something, you have to drop something.
Well, we can move. Look, there's
some things around. Basically, that's what it was.
Right, because there's some big numbers on this list that I'm not under. I'm not sure that I concur. As I said to Derek when I went through the list, I appreciate the work, the effort that went into the jockeying. that went into creating the list, and so I don't have any questions about the needs on this list and that they are substantial and real, and that the other $36.5 million that didn't make the cut or whatever. So I don't know, I'm sure other people have concern on me. Am I the only one? This is like I dive into this. This is where the rubber meets the road.
We have a little bit of time, so we don't have to decide before we have to sell the bond. We have about a month to decide how we're going to divvy up the funds.
Yeah, we've been able to have a little more discussion.
Yeah. So we could decide at the March meeting. We could plant our flag at the March meeting and say, this is what we've decided. So we have another month, basically. But this is kind of what we're going to, kind of our tentative project list.
So I know that, for example, I'll just throw something out there. I'll start the conversation. For example, on the refrigeration for the Nelson Center, and I know this has been on our to-do list, like this has been out there for a while, right? That being said, I also know we have money set aside from other bond issues that we're sort of squirreling away for the inevitability of what
we've got $500,000 in previous issues, that's correct.
So I guess, to me, that, $500,000 for that is maybe a bigger chunk than what we should do in any single issue. Because what it does is it disproportionately drains what is then available for everybody else. And I understand. I get it. I get that this is out there. I get that we need to plan for it. I'm not trying to downplay that at all. But I also know that, what is that, 20-some-odd% of the entire issue is going to that. When it is not 20% plus of what we do as a district. So I have that concern, you're basically, you're putting it away, which again, I get it, I'm for some number, but to me it's disproportionately large and as quite frankly at the expense of things like playground systems across the district. That's a pet peeve, for me. I mean, I go to like places like Indian Hills, right? And I was at Westchester not too long ago. And JC Park, another pet peeve of mine, right? It doesn't mean we can't find other resources. We're looking for Kiwanis. We're looking for some state money. There's a big chunk of money in here for Kiwanis, and I appreciate that. But I am concerned about that. I look at those play systems.
Huge playground for lots of kids.
Where?
Yeah. The number of skaters that are at that place on a given, any given Saturday, Sunday.
No, it's huge. I've gone and I've gone to games and I've gone to, I like to just show up at different times and see what's going on at different times of day, different times of the week. So I agree with you. And the people are pouring in, the parents and their kids and I struggle with it, right? I know we need to do it, and I wonder if there aren't going to be other funding mechanisms available to us if and when the time comes that it doesn't necessarily have to be completely cash out of pocket.
What does the cost of
I would drop bills and it would bring us more money back to the budget in other ways due to not having to repair it anymore.
But we're not going to do it right away.
Right. This is
a long-term thing, so it's not a short-term back to the district.
So a little bit of background here. So the refrigerant system at the Nelson Center operates on R-22. The federal government has phased out R-22. They're no longer manufacturing it in Illinois based on the lack of environmentally friendly attributes to it. So they're no longer manufacturing it. So we can still buy it on the market, and we have been doing this for several years, and that price goes up significantly. We spend tens of thousands of dollars on refrigerant every year because the price is just going up so high to continue to maintain it. So the day is going to come where we have to convert over to something else. We've been tracking this very, very closely for several years. There's a belief that the market will produce some alternative refrigerant that is environmentally friendly. It's called a drop-in replacement where we can extract the R-22 and we put this new catalyst in. We were tracking two of them very closely. There were other private and maybe public rings that went first as guinea pigs. They have all failed. Every one of them has failed. The market has not produced an alternative. So what's going to have to happen, it's possible that at some point that they do. That's correct. But it's been years in coming, and there's billions and billions of dollars. Think of all the rinks throughout the nation. So there's a lot of engineers that are working on this for many, many years, and nobody has come up with a solution. So it's possible that there is. We're not hopeful that that's going to happen. So we actually had a presentation from a group last week. What's likely going to happen is we're going to have an entirely new refrigerant plant, which also means we're going to have to take the concrete up out of both rinks and put all new piping under the rinks as well. This is a huge, huge project. That I believe is coming at some point. Imminence, you know, what's the timing on it, you know, we can debate that. But it's a huge project, and if we want to continue to have ice for this community, it's staff's recommendation, with all due respect, that we need to put significant money for it. It's a $4 million all in to do it.
But there's no, I appreciate what you're saying, but there is no reason not to believe, as you said, there are rinks all over the country, right? And they're working on it. So, okay, let's say they don't find a solution and we have to do this. We are not the only municipal rink that's going to come up with this issue. So there are going to be ways that are put forward for municipalities to change the standard, because there will have to be. I mean, it's we're talking probably about thousands of local municipalities that have built rinks over the years that are going to have to convert systems, and we're not going to be the only one in this boat. And I'm just saying there are going to be mechanisms by which I believe, it doesn't mean we shouldn't put money aside, but I also believe that there will be mechanisms by which we can do this that won't require us to come up with $4 million the next day. Please.
You say it's a hospital. What is the quote on that?
Yeah, so I guess, and I get where you're coming from, Leslie, too, and I respect that position, right? Because, like, this is not one of those things that would be it's not a sexy issue, right? So, like, we all want things that people can outwardly see and use, right? And, but I think, to me, you know, obviously, I truly feel I try to be as objective on all, you know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, I think investment is important for, you know, it's something we're having. Because I don't think it's not just strictly a switch over, but it's an age thing with the system as well, right? If the system goes next week, you know, I mean, I think putting ourselves in a position towards having more access to funds and capital if something happens is helpful. But I think it's one of those things where you have no ice at all because we haven't had the planning or some of the foresight to put those things in. It's going to be a huge problem because some of these other things we talk about, there's other opportunities for people to enjoy those things. The rink nodes could put, there's, you don't have any, chances are, this town for a year, 2 years,
they're either quitting hockey altogether, they're going to Bloomington, they're going to Peoria, or they're going to St. Louis, and they're probably not coming back. Or if they do, it's not coming back in the same capacity. So that would be my concern, and I know that we would have some very passionate, rabid people on our hands.
But like I said,
I understand.
No, and I think you're right, and it's also compelling to me, but this is not $4 million. So, and we have a bond issue every other year. So, by the time, in 2 years when we do another bond issue, it's going to be $6 million. And in 2 more years when we do another bond issue, it's going to be $7 or $8 million. That's how these things work. I mean, they go up exponentially. So it doesn't mean that we shouldn't put away for it. I get that concept. My it's never going to be enough debt. I mean, so what I'm asking you is, how much is the right number at the expense of everything else that we have in a 2,800 acre park district, right? We've got pools that need attention. We have zoos that need attention. You know, we're trying to get we've got the botanical garden. We're working on that. But I mean, we have lots of facilities that require. Now, could we then, after we put this money away, you know, put it somewhere else? You know, I know that part of what you guys are doing is you're squirreling it away for other kinds of emergencies.
How long has the refrigeration system been?
20 years.
20 years. What's the life on one?
Oh, longer.
To that, Jason.
It's longer.
Yeah, I think we are.
I know that. I'm not saying we shouldn't replace it. I'm just saying, how much money is enough, guys?
So this is a great discussion. I'm glad you bring this up. It's part of a larger issue that we have, is it not? We're an agency that we are facility rich. We have so many facilities, and a lot of them were built in the 60s. And they demand a tremendous amount of capital just to maintain them. You're absolutely right, Leslie. I couldn't agree more with you. I don't know what the answer is. This is something we all need to kind of debate. One of the things that may not be popular that I feel obligated to bring forth is a bond referendum. There's an opportunity for us to go to
a bond referendum.
A referendum.
Yeah, that is bad.
That's our constituents. They want to fund it that way. That would not affect the bond the student presents every 2 years. We'd still be able to continue to bond that amount of money, but that would be aside from it. But that's a sensitive issue. That's a very public issue. But that's a way to ask the community if they will support that. And if so, right, then they would pay property taxes to pay the debt service for that bond. So that's always an option available to the board. And I think every time we have this discussion, I mean, we could spend millions of dollars of Eisenhower pool alone. We know we have serious, serious issues. We had that evaluation done. We have two outdoor pools that are all but falling apart. They desperately, desperately need attention. It is difficult. My concern with the Nelson Center specifically is that is our single most heavily trafficked facility that we manage by far. There's not even a close second in terms of the people that walk in and out of that facility. And if we put $500,000 in this bond issue, and in 2 years we put $500,000, and in 2 years we put $500,000, it'll take us 14 years just to build up enough money to do it. So we
But that's my point.
But staff actually, in the initial proposal, we were recommending a significant amount more money than that.
Okay.
But we too kind of understood we need to do some other things as well.
And I mean, I guess that's my thing too. I think we all know that there's no grand slam on this issue, right? And
right.
So I think through single, double, you know, that when the day comes, and we all know it's going to come, that we can at least be better positioned when that happens. As far as, you know, I guess where my students would be on it. And I think through the last couple of years, we've been very fortunate through, you know, the Hoglag grants coming back. We've had a lot of private donations that we've been able to do some other stuff in other arenas that have gotten short shrift through the years. So it's never going to get any easier than this is for us, Matt, because we've still got, and hopefully we've got other ones coming. But like I said, I understand that.
No, I'm throwing it out for conversation.
Yeah.
Because,
I
know we have to do it.
Yeah.
It's not a shirking of our responsibility.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know, it's just about how much is the right number. That's all. Is it
our choice? Whatever happens to be at the time, when the thing goes down, if we want to maintain, we've got to consider it.
And listen. Nobody is questioning the value of the iceberg. It's what's that sweet spot between how much we put aside for this versus the other demands.
I mean, I'm just throwing out thoughts here as they come in my head, so I'm not going either way or the other, but CJ articulated some of the points that I was thinking of, where when we had to shut down the ice because of COVID, we lost a lot of people to St. Louis, and I had hockey people, youth and adults on the phone constantly, figure skaters on the phone constantly, and we have to admit that Elton Center is one of our highest, if not the highest, revenue generators. If we lose that ice tomorrow or next year or in 5 years, we may not get those people back. It's a bad look for us, and we certainly can't have the public for a bond reference at Elton Center if we don't have something in the till ourselves where we've been trying to be fiscally responsible to save up towards it and then just throw something on the ballot. Just, we know it's going to go downhill. I mean, and it's just going to make a lot of people mad, especially right now with, annexations and, all those things. So, Leslie, I understand your point of how much is enough, but I do think that we have to put a decently substantial amount in the till for the future and start planning for it, whether it's 5 years or 14 years. Because that's it.
If we go to bed tonight and that system fails and all of the R22 leaks out, the representative told us it would take nothing short of $300,000 to $400,000 just to fill it back up to capacity to run ICE if we can find enough R22 to fill it back up to capacity to run ICE. And then at that point, we don't know if the chiller plant failed because we have to completely redo it.
I appreciate all of that. I get it, right? It's something we have to do. It's something we have to put away for. I have no problem with that strategy. It's the right thing to do. My question, the only thing I put forward was, if we put this $500,000 aside, with your example, we're still short. So we will have to, when the moment comes, and we will do it, we will have to find a solution to this problem financially, right? Because costs are going to go up, we're going to keep putting money aside. It's sort of a never ending. We're never going to get there, right? We're not. I mean, unless we dedicate the entire bond issue, and then maybe the next half of the next one, which puts the entire district at an enormous deficit with equipment, with roofing, with fencing, with everything. I'm not even talking about playground equipment. So unless we're willing to sacrifice everything to get there, which I don't think any of us want to do, we're not going to get there. So at some point, we're going to have to come up with some kind of financial solution to solve the problem. We will solve the problem. We will have to solve the problem. Nobody wants to see anything go wrong at the Nelson Center. Everybody loves the Nelson Center. We've poured $1 million into the Nelson Center probably in the last 3 to 4 years, maybe more. That's fine. It's as you said, it's a revenue generator. It's heavily used. The community appreciates it. But if we're never going to get to the point that we have enough, and we're going to have to find a financial solution at that point when we have to find it, then what is the right amount? I don't necessarily, I'm not saying I know the answer, but what is the right amount to have tucked away, because we're never going to get to that full amount, if you told me that this would take care of the problem, that by putting a half a another half a million, by the way, another half a million aside for this project, but we would have enough or close to enough to handle it, I'd be like, of course. Of course we have to do that.
I mean, I would just contend, though, that there, you can make the argument that there's merit in being, you know, less short when that, yeah, we're not going to waste it. We're not going to hit the grand plan. So we can try to, you know, have less of a hill to climb when that day comes.
Absolutely,
you know,
right. I agree with that.
That's my argument here, not to say, well, what, you know,
I just don't know what that right number is.
And I agree. I think, and I don't think it's...
That's all I've been saying. I don't know what that right number is. Stephen?
I can concur with what you're saying on the numbers. So, the dollar amount you're looking at, over today's dollar. If we were to go to the company and say, roll it up, do it over, that would be 2 years out from right now. If you were to do it today, it would be 2 years out from the project. Think about that.
And our money is not going up at the rate of inflation, as you know.
So I agree with you, and I think the simple answer is for now, put away as much as you can.
That's
the question.
When the refrigerator goes out, the whole thing dies?
Yes.
So everything's dependent on one
kilo. That's correct.
Didn't the rent ratio?
I mean, if you want to come back to the board.
And it's honestly struggled in Alpine. It's been better the last few years, but I know that there's been some games in the summertime where we've got to put cones out at a certain end of the ring because it's concrete.
Why don't we do this?
For maintenance.
Well, so for growth, you can cut off the maintenance, have one run, have enough to run the one. But if it's the past traffic, outage.
So why don't we do this? I have a thought. Why don't we, it seems it's the consensus, we'll put the half a million dollars aside. But I would challenge you, the two of you, to come back to the board with options, financial options, on redoing the refrigeration. If we're so worried about if staff is truly concerned that this is an imminent failure possibility, okay, then we need to do more than just tuck some money away. We need to be looking at, can we go to a company and say, we need to take care of this now, right? As you said, even if we do this now, it's 2 years out, right? So I would challenge you to come back to us with some alternative financing solutions that maybe involve some cash up front, some amount of money skin in the game, right? But come back to us with some ideas on how do we take care of this? Because I contend that the drop in the bucket, 20-25% of what is today's cost for this, we need to do it, but the question that I have is what are all our alternatives as far as getting the project done without draining the district of all of these other resources.
I can tell you that optimally, what Derek recommended is to start financing. Optimally would be that kind of thing.
Yes, but...
That would be the optimal way to do it. Because if you were to borrow, so let's say we were to take a mortgage on the bank, that would then, in turn, restrict our ability to do the non-referendum bond, the limited bond of FOD. So because it affects our debt service decision rate. So Chris is bad on top. So instead of getting $2 million this year, you might get $1.5 million. Yeah, or even less. Because from a statutory perspective, if someone gets that debt, it's all one thing. And say, well, you can only borrow X.
But there have to be other... I understand that, and you're right. I mean, it's a holistic look at the debt service of the district.
And now I don't know that a referendum on something that our taxpayers would
right. In this community, those don't work. So generally speaking, not universally, but
take,
but generally.
That would absolutely take a everybody on board, so to speak.
So I would again challenge you to go back to the drawing board and see what other possibilities are out there based on maybe talk to some other municipalities. You know, what are they doing to plan for this? Because we're not alone in this. Talk to some different companies and find out, you know, what's possible. You know, can we do this in phases? You know, is it something
we did it before that it can't be done. We can do one rate and then do the other.
I mean, again, I'm gonna throw this back. You can come back to committee, maybe next month, maybe the month after, as soon as you're ready. But I want to see options. What are our options? Can we phase this in? Can we do financing through a company and have that go against our debt service? I don't know. If we do an alternative revenue bond, you know, what is that impact then on our debt service going forward? I don't know the answer to any of that yet, but I would ask that you bring those back to the board.
So I think that's a good plan, and we can certainly do that, but I will tell you there aren't many options available. We've met with consultants. We've talked to other park and rec agencies who have similar systems, because not everybody has a direct
But we've not talked about phasing it in. I mean, you and I haven't had that conversation, and that might be the way to handle it.
Yes. So
we would be limited to one rate.
Once the chiller goes, I think what Stephen's referring to is we could keep one rink up. We could rent a unit, a chiller unit, while they put the new chiller unit in.
Yeah.
Hook that one up and then immediately do the other one. But over the course of 2 years, it's all going to have to be done, right? So that's just phasing in the timing, the staging of the work, in other words. In terms of debt service, one more comment, sorry. In terms of debt service, the law is very clear. It limits the debt that we can carry at one given time.
Okay.
So short of legislative...
But then I'd like to know the impact of an alternative revenue bond on our ability to bond in coming years, because that may be the...
It's not under the DFED, the debt service extension base, so long as you generate enough revenue from that operation.
I'm familiar with it.
We did that.
We're going to have to underwrite it. Robin?
I'm just going to suggest this is obviously a much larger issue than one item in the bond for the chair. Right.
Good point.
This is a big enough issue.
Keep it moving forward.
Well, yeah, sure. But I mean, I think we probably do need to start considering this more seriously, and everything that Blood is asking for, and really flush this out. It sounds like there are a lot of things that we need to hear about that staff has really been working hard on, and then start to consider this for what others.
I agree.
The funding we might be able, you know, start working on for this and get real about it.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Other questions on the bond issue?
Unrelated to the ice cream.
Unrelated.
My only comment is from my time at the city, you can take a look at what waiting too long does. They're having to tear down Ford and Washington parking garage that they probably should have been looking at fixing and doing things in the 90s. And then we have a major construction repair on the parking garage where they opened not too long ago. And it's good to plan. It's good to try to look at all your options. But there comes a point where you have to have everything ready and thrown out the window because it's time. So I think this is something that we should be realistically planning on pulling the trigger in less than 4 years. It needs to just be bite the bullet. Understand this is coming, and if it means we can't do some
Right, which is why I think alternate revenue bonds might be the right answer. Because what it'll do is it will impact our ability, our the level at which we can bond in going down the road, which will then limit the fund taxi things that, you know, we all get excited about doing. But, you know, maybe that's the answer. You know, if we just do an alternate revenue bond and know that for the next X number of years, it's not going to be great. Yeah, I agree with you. No, and we don't want to go there, right? We don't want to get to the point where then we're all like, oh my gosh, you know, why didn't we do this? We don't want to do that. Sure.
We haven't heard anything about that for a while. I don't see it on here as a priority for us to do any kind of a match with them. So I don't know. The last I told them is they needed to reach out to staff and try to search and facilitate this. I knew you were talking to Jackie.
Yeah. Then we also met Trustee Eck and I and Jason met with Christine. I don't recall her name, but she's an advocate. Part of that group
she's
as well.
Physician is the
Diane. Anyway, one of the gals that was involved with that had what I thought was a real good discussion with them. They are interested in raising funds. They are interested in continuing pickleball somewhere out west, whether it be Wherry Park, or whether it be Centennial Park. It's true we don't have anything earmarked in here. It goes back to kind of what President Squirrel was saying is, you know, how do we go about giving up that little amount of money?
So my vote is that we get the money in there for pickleball. They've asked, and they've done everything that we've asked of them. And I think if we maintain that relationship and we've seen how popular that is, I don't disagree with the ice rink. Heck, I would like to see a big bond for the school because everybody knows. But I think that's some low-hanging fruit. It's not going to cost us as much as some of the larger projects.
Are there any particular projects that would be low on your priority that we may be able to pull off there?
I'm sure it'll be.
Can we email you our top five and low five?
Sure.
That's what we did before.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I mean,
and then that way we're not arguing the merits all night about
each good idea.
They're all
okay. Yep.
Maybe some of the things you could.
I mean, I drive past Wherry Park every morning, and the toys are sad.
Yeah.
They are.
Which park?
Fairview.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fairview.
Indian
Hills. Fairview, Indian Hills, JC, they are just depressing. It's depressing.
Right, and that's what people, but people also don't understand that each playground doesn't cost $60,000
$100,000, you know, and so. We have playgrounds in here on our first cut. We have a lot of playgrounds in here. Again, with that $38 million of things that come to us, our theory was we took the playground out of the bond because we're going to hopefully do an even part playground out of it, too. So,
and then hopefully, the page I checked yesterday, the page is down. That means that they're updating it to award us money. I'm just saying it. So this does not go through the merit of every park, every playground, every one behind.
So why don't I love that idea. Why don't you send me a list of your top five priorities? Number one is your number one priority, two of your second priority, on down to five, and then if you could also include if there's items on the list that you think are really low priority, give me that list too. That way
we can pull that together and we can get a weighted merit to those.
That's great.
Really the fun thing about playgrounds is that that's kind of a fun thing for folks with a lot of money to throw out to the community. They like to give.
Right. But that is a relatively new construct for the district. I mean, until very recently, we've not had people come forward and say, you know, let us give you $150,000 so that you can do it.
Well,
I know. No, I agree with that.
Hey, what is the line? I can't read this on my phone. The playground line.
Yes, but
that's just $5,000 just to maintain some of the So we do know that the Oswald grant is funded from the real estate tax. Real estate and Illinois are absolutely booming. There's going to be a bigger appropriation for Oswald grant next cycle than they have ever done in their existence. So I think there's a great opportunity there. And also I would say we have put in more playgrounds in the last 5 years than we have probably in the last 20.
But it needed it.
It needs more.
And it needs more.
I absolutely agree.
All right.
And listen, because some of this other stuff, like CJ said, like this is dumb. I'm not sitting here talking about this forever. We already know this. I'm being serious. Like, so the refrigeration thing is not sexy because people aren't understanding how important that is, and that's a lot of money. I don't understand. So we gotta balance that out with something else. You can't just be roll, and no
problem. But I think that's also our job as a board to explain these things to the public. Hey, you know, when we get these calls and feedback and negativity and things like that, to say, hey, I know Fairview needs toys, but if we don't work on A, B, and C, then we're not going to have anything for 5 or 10 years, you know. And then also with all of the grants that we have coming down, I lobby like crazy and search for grants all the time. You know,
right.
I email you the most random things.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, so if we... I think that as a board, I think that we should all be, you know, trying to find sources of revenue and promoting the district to the public so they understand these things and lobby everybody. You know, we all know decision makers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great idea. I just hope you that you talk to the public or...
Right. I think we should definitely send our priorities to Derek and just remember that it can't be 100% vegetables. There has to be some dessert in the menu.
Thank you.
This menu you gave us is all vegetables. And in my world, it's like lima beans. Okay, so I'm just saying.
There's green cart paths. There's a lot of fun things in there, but I hear you.
Okay. All right, so should we move on to the budget?
I think Mallory had it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mallory. Go ahead. I apologize.
It's all right. Why don't you guys make sure I close your screen? Simple deal. I think it hits a different community. The older population, they're throwing money at us, you know, offering us revenue, and I think it's our job as a board is to, you know, include everyone in our community. And, you know, building these playgrounds doesn't necessarily hit that older population. And, you know,
that's a good point. Excellent point.
Yeah. I think we should consider it. I don't think it, I mean, they're offering money to us, and we don't get that all the time.
And they can bang on the door and they've been so patient.
You know, the other thing, though, is we can look at that through the budget. Because, now don't, Stephen, I saw you roll your eyes.
You're trying to keep us moving on the agenda, aren't you?
But I agree with you, and your point is an excellent point.
Totally.
So we have had three projects. So we have done three full playgrounds, new playgrounds in the past 5 years.
But we have 20 some odd and probably 15 more that need it.
That's a big deal. Did
you try to get rid of Lincoln Playground yet? I don't, so.
I thought about your Abraham Lincoln.
I thought about that too.
Budget?
I know, because it's really cool.
Okay, on to the budget. Can you give us a high level?
All right, so the budget.
Since we spent so much time talking about this year.
Without doing you the disservice of reading the memo to you,
yes.
I just want to hit a couple high points. So, again, the budget was formulated by staff throughout the agency. Some of our key goals for the next year are to have positive fund balances, the application, or I should say, implementation of the zoo grant for Lemur Langer structure, the golf course, improved profitability, which we've already seen, we want to continue that. The golf course has improved profitability by at least $200,000 per year.
That's impressive.
It's really great.
It's actually more than that. It was like $400,000 one year. So, I mean, it's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Do you attribute that, Stephen, to the fact that the district has taken the golf courses basically 100% back in-house as opposed to...
margin?
Yeah.
And at the same time, activity. So...
Right, combo.
I'll say that college was a lucky break for golf. Because at the same time we increased our margins, we got a boom of people coming in to play golf.
Yeah.
And so I talked to Lance about the sustainability of that.
And?
He's doing great problems that we're going to be able to retain a lot of those people that have come into the game now.
So the golf structure has to be at some of the best fields in town. So growing volume.
We talked about doing a new Santa house. That old house is
It's a Chamberlain, isn't it? Is that...
Yeah,
it's
no,
I know, but what's a Chamberlain?
No, that's an old... that's a really old...
city
one. City one. We're talking about getting a traveling one that'll be a new structure.
Can we get rid of it? It sits out of Chamberlain. Yeah. It looks... That little corner of Chamberlain looks really trashy. Sorry.
And then, of course, we're going to continue making a gay improvement everywhere. So those are just some of the biggest highlights as I went through this. And then I want to talk a little bit about this budget that was sent to you with the Buffalo published inspection same day. So that's a 30-day statutory requirement. March 8th is to conceivably pass the budget as long as we meet our March publication date. So the Buffalo statutory published in the newspaper, so last week, so the requirements published in the newspaper, and that's what the 7 to 10 day thing.
That's the Press Association, they're very good at keeping that.
Yeah, so we'll hit that. And so, conceivably, we could have board action on this budget at the 15th, meeting on the 15th. And that's really what staff goal is here. And then you have all of us, but I have some detail too, if somebody wants to see a detail. Line item detail at the departmental level. So objectively, the budget has to balance. We have some contingency in the budget, and we also we try to account for every facet of the business. And from the board's perspective, what I would ask is that when you look at if you see something that you have a question on, obviously I'll do the research to get it. But if there's something that you think that we need to ask, bear in mind that if you have something, you have to take something else out. And that actually goes to the bottom of the problem. If we change something, then something else has to change. Because the boat flows only exists. I hope you take a look at it. And I look forward to it. If you want any specific information, let me know. And I'll be happy to get it.
Could you send me the department level?
Yeah.
No, just forward it to me.
Give me a copy.
Okay. I'd like to take
a look.
Do you have more than one copy?
I'll have a regular.
Okay. questions for Stephen?
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving along. Police department? Anything? Chief? Welcome, Chief.
Thank you very much, President. Only two very brief things, and of course, any questions you guys might have for me. On January 25th, in the wee hours of the morning, we had a burglary out at Robin Roberts Stadium. Unknown person or persons had entered into the stadium. They gave the park district truck in the process, used some burglary tools to do a tremendous amount of damage to one testing machine, one of the larger 7-foot-tall, 4-foot-wide testing machines.
Yeah.
Probably as is, might be worth about $1,500 in life replacement, but to replace it is about $5,000. And the damage does to the extreme is significant. I'm happy to report to you, we don't have any current suspects in that crime. However, I'm very happy to report to you that following my request, Crime Stoppers have agreed to speak to that as a crime of the week, starting tomorrow. And we have had tremendous results with the incident that we have profiled with Crime Stoppers. So starting tomorrow, you'll be hearing about that on the radio, perhaps on the television, and other forms of social media. And I wanted to make you aware that that profiling of that particular crime as crime of the week does start tomorrow. We're pretty optimistic that someone is going to give us the leads that lead us to the person who did. And another thing that may draw your attention to upcoming weeks, in regular media or social media. The San Luis County Emergency Dispatch System is about to begin a large-scale, multi-million-dollar acquisition of a new radio system for first responders in San Luis County. And it's a great thing. And an even better part of that, as confirmed in a meeting I had Monday of this week, the existing hardware that we have at the police department is going to integrate seamlessly into the new system. We will not incur any cost for us to be part of the new system with our existing equipment.
Great.
I'm sure that might be the case, but we're going to integrate without any new cost on that. So those are my two main things I wanted to just pass along to everyone tonight. And personally, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for making me feel really, really welcome in a new position. I really appreciate it.
Well, you are really, really welcome. We're very, very happy you're here. So thank you, and thanks for the update. Much appreciated.
In Stephen's absence, I'll give the board just a couple of real quick updates while we're waiting on him to come back. We have a planned board retreat on February 26th. I know there was a conflict with...
I'll be out of town.
Okay. So if you have not responded back to Leslie...
I think I've heard from everybody.
Okay. Is that a go then?
Yeah. I mean, are you guys... I mean, I know, Lisa, you said you may or may not... out of town. I mean, we can pick another day, guys. I just picked a day. And, would you guys prefer a different day in March? I just want as many of us to be there.
I can tell you I am not the morning person, so if you get me there that early, I'm going to be grumpy.
We appreciate that.
Full disclosure.
I was just saying that there are going to be lots of coffee or I would appreciate a later, even if we went 10 to 1.
Could you do a luncheon?
Yeah.
Sure.
I would prefer something where I'm not.
But I can't do it that day.
Okay, so what is the day that more people can do it? So I'm out of town the 5th, the 12th, or the 19th of March. It doesn't matter to me, really. I mean, I would really like, it's really a good team, what?
I'm out of town on the 12th.
Yeah,
12th
and 19th are bad for me.
Okay.
I can do the 5th, the 26th of March, if that works for anybody.
No, that doesn't work.
Would a weekday evening be better? Than a week than trying to get everybody together on a weekend?
I'm sure a weekday evening could be arranged, but are we talking about 3 hours?
We could break it up in two meetings if we want. We could do, we could do an hour and a half.
So what about we do a dinner meeting during the week, and we'll do it from like 5 to 7, and if we need more time, then we can always come back to it.
We did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's maybe, is 5 o'clock okay? I know for most people, is 5 o'clock all right? No?
I can make it work.
Okay. So why don't you guys send myself and Derek just an email of, you know, if there's a day of the week that works better for you. Obviously, we're busy on a couple of the Wednesday nights, but it's a Monday night, you know, or Tuesday night.
I need to request that we not do Tuesday. My wife is gone with doing quiz bowl, so
that's cool.
So you prefer that I not leave my our two children home alone.
I believe me, I get that. So Monday night, like the 7th, the March 7th, Monday night the 7th. That work for everybody? Okay. Why don't we just say Monday, March 7th? Does it work for staff?
Are you good if staff isn't there?
I would prefer all staff to be there. You guys.
When are you out of state?
I'm gone the 12th through the
20th. Oh, my gosh, guys. The 21st. March 21st.
I could do that. March 21st.
Oh, February 28th?
As we get into the warmer weather, more people have things that they schedule.
February 28th?
Monday, February 28th.
February 28th? Twice? Sold. February 28th.
Can we check the 21st?
Yeah. 28th is first, and then the 21st will be second. March 21st, or February 28th will be our first choice, and then the 21st. When is the staff party?
That's on my list.
Friday the 18th. Friday the 18th is the staff party and it's here.
Yes.
What time?
Stores open at 5:30. The trivia starts at 7. There'll be dinner like 6:15. The trivia has different themed categories. Over the decades, and then optional, of course, costume contest, music, we have a DJ, we'll have we kind of did that spin on backyard games, so in some of the corners in the intermission of trivia, there's going to be, like, some of the bags and the different giant Sega, so it'll be a variety.
Okay, cool.
So then the last update is our legislative breakfast. We have a legislative breakfast that we typically organize here in conjunction with IATD. We've hosted it for the last 4 or 5 years. This year it's going to be remote, and the Urbana Park District is hosting it. You should have all got an invite from Urbana Park District Kelsey Bescue. It's on Monday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. It's going to be at 10 a.m. The Zoom in link was on that invitation. I can send it out again if that'd be helpful for anybody. I can tell you that we have 6 of our local legislators have committed that they are going to be here for that event. So we'd love to have all of you if you're available to join us for that.
I am not in town.
Okay. And I don't know if anybody else can make it. We do have a speaking opportunity there that you've traditionally done, Leslie, so I can work with the other board members that would be there as well.
Terrific.
So if you could email me tonight or tomorrow and let me know if you can make it, that way we can
work together. Monday morning is just a little good for Robin.
Are you grumpy in the morning, Robin?
Okay. So that's it. Steven, we're just getting ready to turn it over to you for a finance and administration update.
Oh, well, I think I set it up for tonight. we had a couple of retirements. We had the one last one to talk about, Bill. But Linda's also retiring.
Really?
Her last day will be next week. She's been with us for about 18 years. I think from a financial perspective, we've done really well this year. We continue to outperform.
and our tax money, and this, our replacement tax is by far more than I've got analysis going back about 20 years, and this is the most we've ever gotten, and not by a little.
What do you attribute that to?
No, I have no idea. We do not have access to the detail on replacement tax.
That's done by the state, right?
Yes. So the state remits to us based on how many corporations pay replacement tax that are domiciled within our district. I have no idea.
It's no accounting. It's a replacement tax. There used to be a personal property.
Personal property replacement tax.
Right.
They quit doing the personal property, so they put in the replacement tax.
It's
the
minimal
agency on those calls.
Okay.
We were letting it at the time, which is why we get to take advantage
of it. So we're hitting our property tax pretty much right on the button. And $300,000. This is a huge windfall for us.
Good, we can do pickleball. I got your back. And a pickleball and a playground. Deal, done. Okay. Anything else? You get dessert, and you get dessert. All right. Is there anything else? Thank you, guys. Good discussion. Lynn, did you have something you wanted to say? I love that idea. I love that idea. You do a good job of that, Lynn. Yeah. Isn't that an awesome idea?
There'll be people that are upset about that, but this is a great alternative. And we also will probably surplus the old one, and if anybody in the community wants it, they'll be able to look at it.
All I gotta tell them is it will be fun, it will be great. You can't go wrong with all the fun that they're gonna get to have.
All right, are we good? All right, thank you guys all so much. And thanks for the good discussion. I really appreciate it. I mean,
it's really important. So thank you.